The church in LA is such as a spiritual entity in the Lord. The church in Los Angeles, though, also is a California nonprofit corporation, so that we can exist in the human society and conduct business as needed. For example, renting the convention center, we need to be a California corporation. We need to have a bank account. We need to have insurance. Many things in society under the ruling of the government. So we are both. The church in Los Angeles is a local church, which is a spiritual entity, a part of the universal body of Christ. The church in Los Angeles is also, in regard to society, a corporation. As a corporation, the church is led by a board of trustees. The church, as a spiritual entity, is led by the elders. The church, as a corporation, is led by the trustees. These are two separate things, but the brothers who serve in these two have much fellowship together. They are not far apart. They have fellowship together and go on together in the Lord. Amen. So, the trustees are not something permanent, neither are elders permanent. Trustees we elect every year about this time of year in our annual business meeting. This year, we do have some new brothers coming into the Board of Trustees, and we do have changes through the years as the Lord leads. All right, so now I will name the brothers that are nominated to serve. The board is 7 members, so I will name them brothers. Please stand up and stay standing. All right, Ben Luis, David Ho, Gilbert Chang, who is on a gospel and shepherding trip in Asia right now, Joshua Yoon, Lampstand Lee, Stephen Yowell, and myself, Don Martin. So if you feel good about the 7 of us serving as the Board of Trustees of the California Corporation for the coming year, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, that sounds like a very large majority. Amen. Okay, brothers may sit down. That takes care of the election of the board. One of the responsibilities of the board is overseeing the financial affairs of the church. By the end of this month, a summary financial statement for 2018 will be available and will be posted in all our meeting places. And at that point, when it's posted, the brothers in each district can announce that it is posted. All right, so that concludes our business meeting. Now we go back purely to life, the Word, and the Father's glory.
Well, brothers and sisters, brothers felt it would be helpful to have some fellowship from the book of Numbers, which the church has been in for the last 11, 12 weeks. And we also had a semi-annual training on. And So we thought it would be good. Have you been enjoying the book of Numbers? I know some of you maybe this is your first time, or you're a little newer, and you may not have been in this. So allow me to just say some things to start things off, and then we'll have some fellowship, okay? And hopefully I will take approximately 20 minutes and then pass it on to the next brother. But the first thing I would like to say is that in 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul said that the children of Israel in their journey through the wilderness are an example to us. So as we get into the book of Numbers, obviously we're not just interested in a story. What we're interested in is how the book of Numbers shows the children of Israel as an example to us. Okay, now, I want to go back to Exodus 6:8. And in this verse, God charged Moses to speak to the children of Israel. This is when they were in Egypt. And he said, this is God, Jehovah speaking, "And I will bring you to the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am Jehovah." So clearly in this verse, God was very definite, right? Jehovah was very definite. The Lord was very definite. He didn't say, "I might bring you into a land." He said, "I will bring you," right? "I will bring you to the land which I swore," right? "To Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So not only did he just make a statement, he actually swore to fulfill it. And then he said, "And I will give it to you. I will give it to you as a possession. I am Jehovah." All right? Now, there's only one person who can always live up to every promise, right? And surely that's the Lord. So here, clear from the beginning, in speaking with the children of Israel to make their exodus out of Egypt, there was a clear goal, right? And again, it was on the Lord. He said, I will bring you to this land. Anyway, so now, fast forward, the children of Israel, hopefully we know the story. There was a bunch of plagues. They crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. They were released from the tyranny of Pharaoh, and they were journeying in the wilderness. Their goal was to go through the wilderness and get to the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, which is what God wanted to bring them in, right? Okay, now, it's very important. What is this land? This is a picture. Remember, this is an example to us. What is this land? This land is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Christ, of the unsearchably rich Christ. Because this land is flowing with milk, right? Very rich, honey, sweet. It's flowing with riches. And so this land typifies the unsearchably rich Christ. So all of us, we're all on this journey. We're journeying into Christ to enjoy Him. And eventually, the goal was to build up a testimony, the temple, for His expression. Okay, now I want to read some verses. In Numbers, they were journeying. They had the children of Israel, they had the tabernacle. Eventually, they were about ready to enter into this land that God had promised them. And the Lord told them to send some men to spy out this land. And so this is Numbers chapter 13. This is verse 2. He said, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." All right? Send some men to spy it out. And then Numbers 13:27. So there was a group of men. There was 12 men who went to spy out this land. And they return. They return with a report about this land. And this is what they said. "And they told him and said, 'We came to the land into which you sent us.'" So these are the spies that went into the land. They're speaking. They went in, they came back. "We went into this land. Indeed, and indeed, it flows with milk and honey." Hallelujah. It flows with milk and honey. "And this is its fruit." It was large fruit. Very rich. "However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. So the land was not vacant. There were enemies in the land, and they were not weak enemies. They were strong, with fortified cities. Okay, then Numbers 13, 32 and 33. This is good. These are good verses. The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that eats up its inhabitants. Isn't that interesting? This land eats up its inhabitants because the people there are just so strong. All the people that we saw in it are men of great size. Great size. They were giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So, this is the word of the spies that came back and were reporting back to Moses and the children of Israel. So what was the reaction of the children of Israel? There was a little back and forth, and for time's sake, we skip that a little bit, and fast forward to Numbers 14:1. It says, then the whole assembly lifted up their voice and cried. Okay, not a good reaction. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. So clearly a very negative situation. Despite God's promise, they looked at the barriers, the challenges to possessing this land. And as a result, they wept. They were discouraged, and they murmured. Okay, now, thankfully, there were two of the 12 spies named Joshua and Caleb. And this was what they said. This is Numbers 14:6. Then Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we passed to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If Jehovah is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Right? Very similar to this promise that the Lord made earlier. It didn't say, we pray that He may eventually, possibly bring us into the land. No, He will. He will bring us into this land. He will. Okay, then verse 9, Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against Jehovah, nor should you fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Amen. All right, those strong giants, they're our bread. Their protection is removed from them, and Jehovah is with us. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Okay, so we have a contrast, right? We have the body of the 10 spies plus the children of Israel who were full of doubt. And then we have Joshua and Caleb who were wanting to possess the land and were confident that the land could be taken. Well, what is the main difference? If you had to boil it down, just one word. What would you say is the main difference? What caused the children of Israel to behave one way and Joshua and Caleb to behave another way? You might say, well, Caleb was just born, they were just born that way. They were risk takers. And they're just bold personality. Is that why Joshua and Caleb were able to take that stand? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us what exactly was really the problem. And this is in Hebrews 3:19. And here it says, referring to the children of Israel, it says, we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. So what the problem was not that they had made mistakes, they committed sins, they had failures, right? If that was the standard, then we would all be in trouble. But the problem was unbelief. Was unbelief. And so, again, now, you know, it was, this unbelief was, maybe you could say it was a logical unbelief, right? Because if you looked at the environment and saw the people that were much stronger physically than them, well, It's a logical conclusion, seemingly, that it's impossible to take this land. But, so, now, for us today, of course, we also, in order to take this land, which is Christ, we also will definitely face obstacles. We definitely face obstacles. And some small, but there are definitely some giants that we face, perhaps daily, weekly, monthly. We might have various struggles, right? There might be health situations, financial situations, relationship conflicts, struggles with other brothers and sisters, struggles with our past history, right? These are all things that we might look at our weaknesses and say, oh, look at me, I am, there's no way, I have this big problem, and there's no way that I could continue on in my Christian life to gain Christ and enjoy the Lord. We might think this way, right? I think we've all said that before. Well, there's some good news. There's some good news. And that is to have the belief that Joshua and Caleb had to enter in and possess this land. This belief, this faith, did not originate with them. It did not come from them. They were not just born with this faith. But this faith comes from a source. And so I was enjoying this verse, Hebrews 12:2, right? And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So actually, faith does not come from ourselves, right? Faith, it comes from the author of faith, who is the Lord Jesus, right? So if we are spending time with the author, then he writes this faith into us. And of course, another source of faith that the Bible identifies in Romans 10 is the Word, right? The Word. It says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And of course, we can never separate the Lord Jesus and His Word, right? The Lord and His Word. Anyway, the more we enjoy the Lord and His Word, the more we're infused with this belief. And you know what? Then suddenly, those giants are not, we don't look at them. We don't look at them. We're looking at the Lord. Amen. Look away unto Jesus, Amen. The author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Okay, well, we'll talk about this a little bit more. Anyway, the first word I would like us all to remember is believe. Believe, all right? And so let's believe. Let's be those who believe. How? Through the Word. Through the Word. Hopefully, I don't know how your Bible reading's going, how your ministry reading is going, but however it has been in the past, there's always a new day. It's the beginning of a new week. There's always many, many new beginnings that we can have with the Lord. And it is when we're really enjoying the Lord and His Word that we can really get past all of these challenges to gain Christ. Okay, the second word that I really like is also another B word, and that word is bread. Bread, right? Now, I asked this in the college conference, and so, you know, there's at least four items in the New Testament in the Bible. There's at least four items in the Bible that really should be our bread, that we should eat. All right? You know what those four items are? Well, I'll go in a particular order. But one of the items is the bread we saw this morning, right? Which is represents the body of Christ. Clearly, this is the bread, right? The Lord said, take, this is my body, right? Okay, so that's one. Another one surely is Christ, right? Brother Dick quoted this word, I am the living bread, which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. So clearly the Lord Jesus himself is this bread. All right, what else is the bread? Well, in Matthew 4:4 it says that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. So what is this bread? This bread is the Word. And then lastly, what's the last one? What's the last bread? Yeah, that's right. We read the verse, right? It was that verse that we read, Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against Jehovah, nor should you fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. They are our bread. So it's the enemies. It's the enemies. Those should be our bread. Now, what would you say are the real enemies that we face? What are the enemies that we face? Is it the other cars on the freeway? Is it our boss? Is it a mean teacher at school? What are the enemies that we really face to possess Christ as our good land? You could say it could be some outward things. There could be some outward challenge, for sure. But I would like to say most of these giants actually are not external. They're internal. They're internal. You know, for me to get up and speak here on this platform right now, you know, there were great giants within me that did not want to come up here and speak, right? So just to get up here, and the giants were not external, right? It's all inside. It's all inside. And of course we can't focus. If we look at the giants, there's just so many. If I said, please say 20 discouraging things about your life, it would be very easy to do so. Very, right? We all have that. There's nobody that doesn't have that. So it's not about avoiding discouraging environmental circumstances. That's impossible. What this is about if we really want to eat the bread of our enemies, we have to eat the Lord and His Word. If we're focused on the Lord and His Word, we will spontaneously overcome these enemies. And I want to mention two specific hymns, actually, that I've been enjoying recently. And to me, these illustrate part of, like, what it is to really eat these enemies. Okay? And I've shared this before with some of you, so forgive me for repeating this. But the first hymn is hymn 370 and verse 5. And in this verse, it says, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. So in the first two lines of this song, it says, I fear no foe. And then the second line, it said, ills have no weight. And it says, tears no bitterness. So there's three pairs, right? There is fear and foe. There's ills, I-L-L, ills and weight. And there's tears and bitterness, right? Now, what are the real giants? Is it really the foe? Is it the ills? Is it the tears? Actually, those are not the real giants. The real giant is not the foe, it's the fear. It's the fear, right? It's impossible to not have foes. If we're going to enjoy Christ and possess Christ, Satan will not be happy. And there will always be obstacles. There will never not be obstacles. So we cannot avoid foes. But if we're enjoying the Lord, we will swallow fear. All right? We cannot avoid ills. I-L-L, right? There will be ills. But the ills have no weight. So the giant we swallow is actually the weight. We may pass through ills, but it's not so heavy. Because we're swallowing that giant by enjoying the Lord. And then lastly, tears, but no bitterness. We will all pass through times where we shed tears. We will all pass through times when we shed tears. But we can swallow the giant of bitterness in those tears, right? How? By enjoying the Lord. Amen. Okay, let me give you one more example. And this is another hymn written by a sister Margaret Barber, and this is hymn 595. And there's a, if you look this hymn up on hymnal.net, there's a little inscription at the bottom, and it says that this hymn was written when this person was down to her last dollar. Down to her last, literally $1 left in her bank account, all right? Now, if we were going to say, please write, if you were in a if I was in a situation where I just literally had $1, that's it. And someone was going to say, Stephen, please write something about how you're feeling right now. Probably most of us would be pretty desperate, right? Perhaps we would really fast and pray, Lord, please supply me. Please get me through this. Or maybe, why is this happening to me? We might ask things like this, right? But this is not the flavor at all of what this sister wrote, okay? So here's what she wrote. Again, down to her last dollar. Okay, here's what she said. She said, there is always something over when we taste our gracious Lord. Every cup he fills overfloweth. Rich supply he doth afford. Nothing narrow, nothing stinted, ever issued from his store. To his own he gives full measure, running over evermore. So what was she doing? She was praising the Lord. She wasn't, there was nothing she could do. She had $1. Well, limited circumstances. But what she did do was praise the Lord. And that was definitely eating some giants, right? She definitely ate the giants in the midst of her situation. Now, I don't think right after she wrote this hymn, she became rich. But she was rich in the Lord, right? Because she was feasting in this situation on the Lord. Okay, now I want to just conclude with one very important point now. Okay, so we move on. Now I move on to Joshua 14. This is about Caleb. And here Caleb, in verses 10 and 11, he says, and now look, Jehovah has kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, since the time Jehovah spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked through the wilderness. And now look, today I am 85 years old. Today I am still as strong as I was on the day Moses sent me out. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for battle and for going out and coming in. So Caleb was approximately 40 years old when he went to spy out the land. But then he had to wait another 40 plus years before he actually went into the land. And he gave this testimony when he was 85 years old. 85. Saying that his strength at 85 was the same as it was 45 years ago when he first went to spy out the land. I don't know if we have any saints who are 85 or older in this room. There might be a few. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we need the portion of the older saints to be today's Caleb, right? We need the 85-year-olds to lead us into the good land, all right? We need the 40-year-olds, right? Caleb, he was 40 years old, to get up and boldly declare, let us take this land. Let us go up at once and possess it. But eventually, who are the majority of the ones who possess this land? Numbers 14:29 shows that it was those who were under the age of 20 at the time when the spies came back. It was those under the age of 20, those are the ones who ended up going into the good land 40 years later. And another verse, Numbers 14:31, it says, I believe this is the Lord speaking. He says, but your little ones whom you said would become plunder, I will bring in. And they will know the land which you have rejected. All right? Anyway, God clearly spoke here. Who was it that would go possess this land? The little ones. The little ones. And so we would like to really, in possessing this land, a key group of people. We need the 85. We need the 40s. We need the under 20s. We need the little ones. The little ones are key in order to possess this land. And I'll end with this, and then Ben will come up. Numbers 3:28. How little? Well, Numbers 3:28 mentions, it's talking about a family within the Levites who served very closely in the care of the tabernacle. And in this verse it said, according to the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, there were 8,600 keeping the charge of the sanctuary. Can you believe it? 1 month old and upward, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. I'm not making that up. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, we cannot despise or overlook this next generation. Even the 1 month old. In God's view, these ones are for what? They're for keeping the charge of the sanctuary for His purpose. And so our brother Ben will continue this fellowship.
So, saints, we'd like to continue, and I'll continue in this way. You know, Joshua and Caleb were of the next generation. They were a part of the younger generation that came out of Israel, out of Egypt, and were on a pathway to the promised land, the good land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And Exodus 33:11 shows us that at least in comparison to Moses, Joshua was a young man. This is what it says. Speaking of Moses, it says, his attendant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man. Now at the time, Moses was the one taking the lead. He was the one taking the lead, leading God's people and taking the lead of God's move on the earth at that time. But you know what? There was a time coming. There would be a time in the future where someone else would have to rise up. Another generation would have to rise up. There was need for another one to take the lead. This one was Joshua. We know this. But Joshua, a young man, needed to be prepared. Needed to be perfected, needed to be trained, raised up, shepherded. And he was shepherded, he was raised up by Moses, an older man. And we know they spent a lot of time together. You know, Moses fought battles under the Joshua fought battles under the leadership of Moses. Also, when Moses was called to go up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the Bible says he rose up with his attendant Joshua, and then Moses went up to the mountain. Also in the verse I referenced, Exodus 33:11, it calls Joshua Moses' attendant. This means they spent a lot of time together. Joshua watched Moses, talked to Moses, learned from Moses, was raised up and prepared by Moses. God would have a future need. He would need to go on. And Joshua was prepared. Saints, the next generation needs some from the older generations to help raise them up, to care for them, to shepherd them, to prepare them to stand for the Lord in the Lord's time of need. And Caleb, you know, Stephen mentioned when he came into the good land was 85 years old, full of strength and vigor. And in fact, Caleb, after passing through the land, he had a younger relative named Othniel. And Othniel fought under the leadership of Caleb. In fact, he won a battle. And because he won the battle, Caleb gave Othniel his own daughter to take as a wife. And he gave them a rich portion of the land. Well, later, Othniel became the first judge of the children of Israel. At a time where Judges chapter 3 says that the children of Israel did what was evil in the sight of God, and they served other gods. At this time, the Bible says Othniel rose up. And in verse 9 in Judges chapter 3, it says, "And Jehovah raised up a savior for the children of Israel who saved them." That is Othniel. For one to be so useful, so ready in the time of God's need, he had to have been prepared. Both of these stories show us that God goes on. The Lord continues his move. And as he continues his move, he needs people. Especially he needs young ones. He needs the next generation who have been raised up, who have been prepared, who have learned, who are ready to rise up in God's time of need. The younger generation needs the older generations who have the experience. Saints, this is not optional. This is critical. This is the main function, the main way we care for the next generation. It's not the conferences that they go to. It's not meetings here or there, or even a select group of serving ones. But saints, seeing this need, as the church, we must all rise up. Amen. To bring forth, to care for, and to raise up the next generation for the church life. Amen. We have many children among us in the church in Los Angeles. Behind these walls, I believe there are over 80 children being served, being cared for. We have sixth graders, whom we'll hear about in a moment. We have sixth graders, there are junior high schoolers, there are high schoolers, there are college students in campuses across Los Angeles. And they too are facing the trials, temptations, and difficulties of living in the midst of the wilderness of Los Angeles. And as they are trying, exercising, to live a godly life, they too face giants. Some giants most of us did not know when we were their age. And so saints, with all the arrows and the darts from Satan pointed right at our next generation, we must rise up as the church to care for this next generation. For our prayer, saints, first, our eyes need to be open to see the preciousness of the next generation. And with our eyes being open, we would spend and be utterly spent on behalf of their souls. And secondly, we should take these patterns that we see in the Word of God and come forth to raise up the next generation. You know, they don't need our criticizing them. They don't need our looking down on them or holding them to a certain standard that we have in our mind set up for them. And they definitely don't need our being religious with them or bringing them into anything of religion. But they do need our care. They do need our care. They do need a supporting and listening ear. They do need perfecting. And they do need to see with their eyes loving patterns in the home life and in the church life. Saints, we hope that you would bring this burden, this matter to the Lord in prayer. And so we'd like to take a minute now with our neighbors and pray concerning your heart related to this matter. And then we'll have some further encouraging testimonies showing us, painting a picture of the next generation in the church in Los Angeles. So let's pray with our neighbors. Saints, now with this in view and with our hearts full of burden, we would like to have some testimonies, again, that will add some color, paint the picture of what the Lord is doing among us in the next generation in the church in Los Angeles. So we would like to have those who have been serving the sixth graders, you can come up to the mic, and then those from Venice High come behind them, and then the two sisters who will be sharing last, you can come up behind them. You can all line up, and we'll hear the testimonies one by one.
Hello. This is quite different. Praise the Lord. So we'll have a couple of testimonies now regarding the sixth grader service, the neighborhood children's meeting, as well as some serving ones who served the sixth grader, and like Ben said, a few others. And we'll try to go that order. I'd just like to open this time by simply thanking the Lord. The Lord has done so much throughout this whole school year, starting in early September. So just to paint you a picture of what's been going on with the sixth graders, across all of Los Angeles, we have 19 sixth graders. These are our children. They spent many years behind these walls going to children's meeting, going through the many curriculums, learning, preserving their vessels. So they have been born to our families on the one hand, but on the other hand, it now is the time for these sixth graders to also be born spiritually into our family. So the burden throughout the whole year has been very simple, and it is that these sixth graders, they need to be gained. We cannot afford to lose a single one of them. They are too precious in the eyes of the Lord, and so they are part of the next generation. And because of this, we feel that it was imperative that we get to know them and that we get to speak to them regarding the Lord and salvation starting very early in the school year, starting August, September timeframe. And so we just wanted to gain them in a very loving way, to gain them in a sweet way, letting the Lord have an opportunity to attract them with his beauty. Okay? Now, something that Ben said is very true. This had to be done outside of any religiousness concept, out of any tradition that we might have. We really needed to go seek the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord for a fresh burden and a fresh consideration on how to carry this service of saving sixth graders in the city like Los Angeles. You might think this is a piece of cake. It isn't. This took a lot of consideration and effort, but the reward is so high. The payback to see what the Lord has done is immense. So praise the Lord. I'm going to touch a little bit on the actual service part. None of us going into this thought, I'm an expert at serving with sixth graders. Quite the contrary. We were all had a spirit of a learner. We all had the innate desire to serve the Lord and to serve the sixth graders through the Lord. We were a diverse crew composed of all sorts of people. We had newlyweds. We had parents. We had non-parents, college students. We had Korean-speaking ones, Spanish-speaking ones, English-speaking ones. You get the picture that only the Lord could coordinate us and gain us to serve in a blended way. So what we'd like to show is basically say that when we were get together, and this happened week by week, the feeling was never, well, what about this hall or what about that hall? But through a coordination and the sweet flow of the Spirit, we were all blended into one and able to take care of all the sixth graders. Independent of language, independent of who we knew or who we didn't know, it was so sweet to see the life of God moving through the serving ones to dispense himself into the sixth graders. And all we did really was simply allow the Lord to partner up with him, allow the Lord to impress us first with his burden so that we could impress the sixth graders with his burden. Many times we just want to repeat a message and just regurgitate something that we read. But this doesn't impress a sixth grader. What impresses a sixth grader is something that comes from your being, something that comes from your heart. And so we needed to be saved first. Amen. We needed to be reconstituted first. We needed to be impressed first with anything that the Lord wanted to impart. So this resulted in an enjoyable coordination, sweet in coordination, where the oneness of what the Lord wanted to do was visibly shown. I can't tell you how many times I asked the Lord, Lord, how are you going to do this? How are you going to accomplish this? All he said was, trust in me. I have it worked out. It will happen. And so that's what we did. As the serving ones, all we could do was trust the Lord, trust in that he had a plan, a practical plan, and that he would do it. And so this goes beyond saying that we had the whole support of the whole body, of all of you. Even if you weren't aware or aware, you knew that the sixth graders were needed salvation. And prayer meeting after prayer meeting, the feeling was very strong that we had the whole body behind us. We had the Lord behind us, supporting us, and we had the whole body behind us, also supporting us in carrying out all of this. Brothers and sisters, this is the way to coordinate. This is the way to serve. We don't serve on islands independent from one another, but we serve all together, even if we're not practically doing what the day-by-day job, but we all serve together in one accord, and with the blending of Christ with us. So hallelujah. Hallelujah for what the Lord has done. So now we'll continue with, the neighborhood children's meeting. And then we'll hear a couple of testimonies regarding service with the sixth graders.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Saints, may the Lord open our eyes to see the preciousness of the children's and the young people. Amen. I would like to just give a short testimony about this. I don't know if you heard about this neighborhood children's meetings. Amen. This is something that is happening, that is going on in the church in Los Angeles, and is expressed in the book Raising Up the Next Generation for the Church Life. There is a whole chapter, the whole book of the section book, that is talking about children's work. In particular, is a children's meeting. There is not a meeting for adults. It's not for young people. It's for children's. And there is a family that is open their heart, open their home. And this place is the place that you can invite children's that lives around your area and singing with them. Of course, don't forget the snack for them. You must have a snack for them. And they love to be there. They love to sing. And they love to eat something for a snack. But when we are taking care of these children in this way, sometimes they invite their parents. So we are experiencing this. In this group of sixth graders, there are about three girls that touch these neighborhood children's meetings. And as a result, their parents receive the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the goal, not only the children's, but the parents. They receive the Lord, and by their turn this year, these girls receive the Lord too. Amen. Amen. So this is part of the increase in Los Angeles. The church in Los Angeles is increasing by this labor in the neighborhood children's meetings. May the Lord guide us and to open our home and invite the children in the area. to preach the gospel to them. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, saints. My name is Chrissy. It's my husband, Matthew, in the black. So Matthew and I both had a lot of new life stages happening. No longer a college student. We're both working. No longer single. We're both married. And we really were burdened to the Lord as to how would we make the most out of our marriage and how would we make the most out of the church life in L.A. So we asked the Lord, Lord, how can we be useful to you in the church life in L.A.? And it actually was presented to us serving sixth grade. So we both personally and also together were praying before the Lord, Lord, what's your feeling? Do you feel that it would be good? We don't want to do this out of ourselves. And anyways, it was very clear after a few times of praying that actually it was the Lord's leading to bring us to serve sixth grade. So we joined that next Wednesday coordination, and it was really sweet. We were just entering into prayer that the Lord would break down all the cultural barriers, that these sixth graders would become friends with one another, friends with us, and that the Lord would have a way to really shine through the Word as we entered into the book of Mark. And anyways, the more I spent time with these sixth graders, the more they really grew in my heart. And I would tell Matthew, I miss them. I'm jealous you get to go serve with them this weekend. Can we switch? But anyways, the Lord was sweet that, you know, the way it worked was that each the teams were divvied up and we all served, you know, Lord's Day by Lord's Day with the sixth graders. And as others were serving, even like Matthew and his team, I'd be back in the meetings praying. And then when I'd be serving, he would be praying. And then when we both wouldn't be serving and we'd be in the meetings, we'd be praying for the sixth graders and for the serving ones, and that the Lord would just continue to prepare their hearts for this seed of life that was hopefully going to be and answered to be planted in during the sixth grade conference. And so really just have to testify, it wasn't us, it was the Lord, and it was all of the prayers from the church. And so anyways, my fresh appreciation is that it's amazing to serve. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it's even more amazing when you get to serve with your counterpart. The Lord really blesses your marriage when you don't just give it to the Lord, but you also give it to the church. So anyways, praise the Lord for these new ones and praise the Lord for the body.
Praise the Lord. So when I was asked to serve the sixth graders, I hesitated to say amen because I didn't think I could do it, and I didn't have experiences serving them, and I didn't know how to take care of the kids, and I didn't know how, like, I didn't think I had a burden for them. But after praying before the Lord, I told the sister that I would serve, because even though I didn't know how to do it, because I thought the Lord would tell me to, like, through her. So because I didn't feel confident to do it, I prayed a lot and I depended on the Lord and saints. So I definitely couldn't do it by myself, but I was able to do it, serve, because I had other saints, like, supporting one another. So through weekly coordination and fellowship and prayer, I learned a lot, and I was encouraged when I was told that I don't need to be expert to serve. So we prayed much that the Lord would use us as a channel for Him to flow out and be expressed to the sixth graders. So Wednesday coordination meeting was very sweet. And it was a great opportunity to blend with other saints from other world. And it was an enjoyable experience that we could be built up together through fellowship and prayer, regardless of age differences, cultural differences, and the language barriers. So I got to know the saints from Spanish-speaking hearts and English-speaking hearts. So I feel like we are family, and we are one body now. Amen. So I was very happy to see when the kids were saved at the conference. So I almost cried when they, like, stand up, when the brother asked them to stand up if they want to be saved. So I felt like they were my children, and so I was very excited and happy to see them receiving the Lord. So at the sixth grade conference, I felt that the sixth graders were very open and their heart was very soft. I thought it was because the whole church was, like, prayed for them, for their salvations and their hard to be open to the Lord to receive the Lord for a long time. So I also felt that we couldn't do it without saints praying for the sixth graders and for us, the serving ones. So as a married couple like Chris and Matthew, you could serve the young ones with your counterpart. It would be really joyful, but you could also serve as a singer because you have other sisters and brothers to serve together. So no one needs to be experts, but we can all learn together. So it was really a blessing to serve the young ones who are like our future.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Right now we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to have an opportunity to welcome the new brothers and sisters that we have in our church. I'm going to ask the sixth graders and the serving ones to stand up, and I will be introducing them. So this is the increase. Praise the Lord. These are 13 of the 19 that got saved. All 19 in LA area got saved this past weekend at the conference. So praise the Lord. So I'm going to start from the left. The first one there is Tess. Next there is Irene, Emma, Jennifer, April, Ethan again. Then in the back is Noah, Koichi, Hoseas, William, Asael. Those are the 13 sixth graders that are here today with us. Anyway, but as the other one shared, this isn't something that just came from the serving ones that saw them month to month, but it was really through the prayer and the coordination through the whole body. The Lord really poured out his blessing and honored the seed that he planted in each one. Amen. Right now, we would like to ask that we all pray for them in three matters. The first one is related to their baptism. So hallelujah, they believed this past weekend, but they still need to be baptized. Amen. So we ask that the Lord open it up in their heart to be baptized this coming week. They will have an opportunity next Lord's Day. And then the second part is that they would develop a regular habit of reading the Bible with their families. And they would gain an appetite to just spend time with their family members reading and learning more about Jesus. And then the third is that we ask the Lord to preserve each of these young vessels. As Andres was sharing, you know, LA is not the kindest area, so we need to continue to pray, and we need to continue to fight. So if we could turn to your neighbor and pray for these three things, and praise the Lord. Amen.
Testimony? Amen. Saints, now we'll have a testimony from some of the young people who have been at Venice High School together.
I'm Desmond. I'm a senior.
I'm Cindy. I'm a senior.
I'm Quinlan. I'm also a senior.
I'm Charles. I'm a junior.
And so we are 4/9 of the Bible Club. We're 4/9 of the Bible Club at Venice High School. And so we'd like to start by reading a verse to you all. It's Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Okay, so altogether we have 9 members in our Bible club. About 8 meet regularly, 7 seniors, 1 junior, and 1 sophomore. And of these, 7 are from the church in Hall 5 and Hall 3. We've had a number of new ones since we started in spring 2016. Right now we have 2 new ones that have been meeting with us regularly. One has been meeting with us for 3 years, and the other just started meeting with us last month. Last month we had a table at our school's club fair where we received about 16 names, one of which has been coming regularly.
Amen. So just concerning our enjoyment of the Bible club, I think we can testify on behalf of the whole club that just even having these times once a week during our lunchtime has been a really sweet supply to us all. Our lunchtime is only 30 minutes, so we read from like 10 to 15 minutes of one chapter of the Bible. This semester we were in Matthew. But even though it is a little rushed because people are getting their lunch, it has been really sweet just to get together and see one another face to face. So there are 7 seniors in the club, and so we're all graduating. There are 2 young people there currently, so there's 1 junior and 1 sophomore, and then 1 incoming freshman next year. So we would ask you all to keep praying for the Venice High School Bible Club. The Lord would strengthen these 3 high schoolers after we all leave. Yeah.
Amen.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. How about we pray with our neighbor for the Venice High Bible Club and all the young people in the schools in L.A.?
Hi, Saints. It's so wonderful to be with you all this morning. This is Juhi, and I'm Jackie. I'm from Hall 4, but I work in the Westwood Hall 5 area. So how I met the Saints was actually in high school. My math teacher started a Bible club in my high school, and she's in this room, I think, Rachel. And so Rachel started a Bible club, and that's also how I met Juhi. Even though we didn't really get to know each other that much in high school, besides just occasionally seeing each other in our Bible studies.
Hi, Saints. My name is Juhi, and I meet in Hall 5 area. And I grew up in the church life, but met Jackie for the first time at my high school Bible club. And even though we didn't really talk to each other that much in high school, I just remember whenever I saw Jackie at the Bible study, she had this big smile on her face. And it just made a huge impression on me that someone my age, a high schooler who did not grow up in the church life, was just so happy to be at the Bible study.
Amen. So then Juhi and I went to college. She went to LA, so she stayed here, and I went to Irvine. So we didn't really know much about each other for 4 years. But then fast forward 4 years later, and we were pleasantly surprised to find out that we'd be living in the same house in the full-time training in Anaheim. That's amazing. I mean, we hadn't seen each other a lot since high school, and now we were term mates and housemates and service mates. So we got to be companions and really got to know Juhi's spirit. And actually, there's one occasion that's very dear to me. And Juhi and I were first-termers in the training, and we were really sick this day. And we stayed back home, and it was like midterms week, and we were trying to study. And I remember we were just so sad and defeated in our dining room table. And the Lord just reminded us of Hymn 1198, the last stanza that says, "All he could do the foe was just release the flow."
Amen.
And I remember just looking at each other across from that dining room table and saying,
"And God just keeps on flowing."
Amen.
So even to this day, whenever either one of us is going through a rough time, we just speak this. Because really, saints, it's just encouraging to see that this Christian race is not, we don't have to run it and fight these warfares by ourselves. Because at that moment, at that kitchen table, our giants seemed too big for us. But when we had each other, we ate bread and we were satisfied because God's life just flowed into us. And so to this day, it's just a sweet reminder that we have companions that we can fight with and companions and partners.
Amen. And upon my FTTA graduation, I started serving full-time at UCLA, and Jackie was looking for a job at USC area. And there was this particular period of time I was facing a lot of external and internal challenges of my own and also just of the students that I was taking care of. And I just felt very weary of fighting this battle. And I had this deep sensation of longing for a companion. And I didn't know who, I didn't know how, but I just knew that I needed a companion. And not too long after, actually, one day I was walking to campus, and I get this unexpected text from Jackie, whom I hadn't been in contact with, actually, for a while. And she said, "Hey, Juhi, I'm free Monday through Friday at this time, and I would love to join you in your appointment." And I didn't know this, but Jackie had actually recently started a job nearby UCLA, and she had her lunch break to join me on campus. And then she told me actually that later that she was actually praying the same prayer, asking the Lord for a companion. I just remember receiving that text and just awestruck by that text because it was just beyond what I could dream or imagine. It was like manna coming down out of heaven, except that instead of manna, a companion came down. I was just brought to tears because I just felt like the Lord really sent Jackie in a time and way so we can fight this battle together. So we've been very much enjoying our times together, praying for the students, praying for her coworkers, but most importantly, just for one another. And I think when Jackie and I first met each other at the Bible, at our high school Bible club, I don't think neither of us imagined that we would be standing here giving a testimony together. But we just praise the Lord for his ways that are higher than our ways,
right,
and his faithfulness in giving us the companions to go on and fight this battle together.
Amen.
Yeah. Saints, this is such a clear picture of the Lord catching young ones, even in their high school years, training them, perfecting them, shepherding them to be partners and serving ones today. So we need to continue to pray for this. Let's spend a moment with our neighbors, praying that the Lord would gain this among all of the next generation in Los Angeles.
Okay, saints, we are going to move toward closing announcements, but before that, we just had the feeling to do this. Didn't you enjoy seeing all the sixth graders standing up?
Amen.
We'd like to ask all the high school and below, including high school seniors, all to stand up in this room. High school students, stand up. High school students, middle school, stand up, middle school. and sixth graders. Okay. Not standing are many college students, young adults, trainees. We consider all of these to be our next generation. And also, as Brother Ben mentioned, right over there, 70 children. And I see some children here in this room as well. And so remain standing. I just want to close in this way, saints. When the Lord was crucified, there's a very tender moment where the Lord revealed the life union that the believers have not only with himself, but with one another. And this very tender and very sweet moment, the Lord took care of his mother and took care of his disciples. In John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, Jesus, seeing his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Do you follow me here? Brothers and sisters, just like the Lord said, "Woman, behold your son," I'd like to say to all the saints here, brothers and sisters, behold our children.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, don't look at me now, look at them. And look at the children in the room over there. Brothers and sisters, behold our children.
Amen.
We have a life union with one another. And I would say to all these young high schoolers and middle schoolers, look at us. Behold your parents. We are your parents. Spiritually, not just physically. Okay, please be seated. I just would like to close in this way because, you know, I was thinking, today happens to be Mother's Day. Sisters, all of you are mothers. I'm serious. You all should have many spiritual children. And brothers, we should all be the fathers. And we have to care for our own children, but sometimes parents, even the parents, may not be able to connect with their own children. And so we need somebody on the church side to be the dad, to be the mother, to be the big brother and the big sister. None of us saints are excused from this wonderful responsibility we have. So I just wanted to close with that. We have some very important announcements. Brother Ben.
Saints, I know it's getting a little bit late, but we have a few important announcements that we'd like to share that you would take note before we end today. Now first, we'd like to make mention of Oak Glen. I think we're all aware of how useful this property has been to us. The sixth grade conference, which we just heard about, where all our sixth graders attended, was held at Oak Glen. Our young people's conferences, our college conferences are there. Many of the halls have gone there for retreats. This is a very useful and important property. And, you know, the churches purchased the property but are still paying off the loan. And it's very important, it's critical that we pay the loan off as soon as possible so that we can begin to advance different things at the camp, the lodging and the different facilities there. So far, the church in L.A. has contributed $450,000, but our target is an additional $250,000 by the end of this year. So we just wanted to open this to all the saints. We hope that you would go before the Lord, open to the Lord concerning this, and have the opportunity to experience grace in giving for the completion of the paying off of Oak Glen. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second is the Summer School of Truth, the 2019 Summer School of Truth. The dates that we're presenting today are August 9th through 17th. August 9th through 17th will be the likely time frame. Okay? Now, I added that will be the likely time frame because there are still considerations about the Summer School of Truth and the dates going on. It may be the full range of these dates. It may be within those dates. But we will we'll provide the final dates very soon. But please reserve August 9th through the 17th for the 2019 Summer School of Truth. Okay? Now, Holy Word for Morning Revival. We're going to repeat week 11 in our current Morning Revival in Numbers, Volume 2. And then we also would like to announce that there is a SoCal Blending Conference for all the churches in Southern California, June 8th through 9th. Okay, a SoCal Blending Conference. There will be no meetings in L.A., and all the saints are encouraged to go to Anaheim. Okay, so also put that on your calendar. Brother Hannes will be giving an announcement related to the college training.
Saints, we would just like to announce, mainly for our prayer, the North America College Training, which will be taking place July the 14th, and it will be for a week long. And this will include students, college students, not only from North America, but even from different countries all over the earth. And many of us know the college training has been started in the 90s here in California, and the last 3 years we had five college trainings the last 3 years taking place in different areas of the United States. But in 2015 we had our first national college training, and we had 1,800 attendees at that college training. And that was in Champaign, Illinois. And this year, 4 years later, we will have our second North America college training. Amen. And we have 2,800 spots available this time. And we already have 2,600 signed up for this college training. How about all those who are going to the national college training this year? Could you please stand up? Quickly stand up. So we have a good number going, and we see some even graduating from high school. You could sit down. Graduating from high school going. So we really, saints, we really, really need a prayer for this time. I would say even fighting prayers that the Lord could really impart a vision into all these dear ones, all these young people coming from so many places, and that the Lord could really raise up this next generation. Right, they would become the Calebs, the ones who have a different spirit, and it could take this good land. And the title, the overall title for this college training is the Jubilee. Amen, amen. Saints. Hallelujah. Should we have some prayer for this? Right? Oh.
Okay. Two more announcements, and then a word of encouragement. The first announcement is the offering box is on this back table. You can see the large brown box, just so all the saints know where it is in the room. Parents, please remember right after we dismiss to go right to the children's meeting area and begin to make the arrangements to pick up your children. And then saints, you know, we don't have this opportunity often to gather together as the church in this way. And we have this facility. There's nothing else going on in the building, in the area. So let's spend time talking to one another, fellowshipping with one another, caring for one another, introducing ourselves to each other, and having lunches together. It's a wonderful opportunity that the Lord has given us to gather in this way. And let's grasp this opportunity to shepherd one another and even meet some of the younger ones among us this afternoon. Okay? So let's end with three hallelujah standing. Hallelujah.